Amen, amen. Well, we're going to go into this different message for Father's Day. I got to just warn you here, this isn't your typical Father's Day message. I'm not going to preach and tell you how special dads are. You guys already know that, amen? Amen. I'm not going to preach of how much responsibility a father has to lead the house. We've heard it before. I'm not going to preach on that because we still are in our current series called Tension. A lot of you understand what tension is all about because you have tension every day of your life. There's tension in your home, tension at work, tension in your marriage. There's tension raising your children, financial tension, physical tension. Tension is viewed as a negative thing. It causes a lot of stress and anxiety and worry. It can make you sick. But the reality is that when it comes to tension, God can actually use it to really prepare you forward and bless your life. So as we go into this series of tension, our third part, I want to go to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to talk about a dad here. But Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1 and 2, and the Word of God says this: sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." So God's not even giving him clear direction, because I want to tell you, you can be in God's plan and still have no idea where you're going. I don't know who that was for. Receive it in Jesus' name. You have no direction. God's not making any sense. Things are getting difficult. Things are getting more tense. That was what Abraham was going through. Verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on your boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son." In other words, God told him, "Abraham, now I know you put me first." The question is, if we serve an all-knowing God, why did God have to know whether Abraham loved him and would put him first? Wouldn't God already know if he's an all-knowing God? A lot of us ask this question, but let me tell you the difference here. There's head knowledge and then there's experience knowledge. When God uses the word "now I know," he's saying, "I know because of your experience." You understand that? So as Abraham is woken up one morning, God tells him, "Take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him." And Abraham went to do it, and God said, "Stop. Now I know that you will serve me and put me first." Luke chapter 16, verse 10. I'm going to put it all together here. Luke chapter 6. "Whoever can be trusted with very little." Everyone say "little." "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much." How many of you, show me your hands, if you want more in your life. Show me your hands. All right, all hands should be going up. I'm telling you, because all of us say, "I want more of this. I want God to do more in my life. I want to be blessed." But notice what the scripture says. "Whoever can be trusted with the little must be able." Notice, if you can be trusted with the little, also you can be trusted with very much. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, bless this Father's Day message that's not so Father's Day-y. But I know, Lord, that this is your word. I know that this is the word you've given me to preach. And I declare right now you're going to speak to the hearts of those here this morning, those listening online, or those right now that are listening to that CD their friend gave them, Father, or in our podcast. Whichever means you're listening right now, the word of God is going to bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, use me now. Amen and amen. This is an interesting passage because I want to talk to you this morning on the tension of testing. The tension of testing. You know, it's commonly heard that you need to trust God. I mean, I've preached sermons and upon sermons for years telling people, trust God, obey God and just trust them. Just believe God and trust them. If you're telling someone your problems and they go to a church and they love the Lord, they'll probably tell you, hey, just trust God, just trust God. Everyone hears a message all the time. Just trust God and believe in God. Keep trusting God. Don't doubt God. Just trust God. So when the Bible says to trust the Lord, what the Bible is literally saying there is that you just simply entrust to God with confidence any issues you may have in your life. In other words, when I'm trusting God, I'm refusing to take ownership over a certain area, situation, or something that belongs to God. So thus, because I trust God now, I'm giving Him the responsibility over that thing in my life. And because I've surrendered and trusted to God with confidence, I no longer have to stress about it. I don't have to be anxious about it. I don't have to be afraid about it. I don't have to worry or be upset about it. Because when I've trusted God, I have released to Him that which I was worried about. That's why the Word of God says, do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer, present. That word present means literally to entrust. So God says, I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to live in worry. I don't want you to have anxiety. I simply want you to entrust to me whatever area in your life you want me to be responsible for. So when you learn this, you say, okay, God, I trust you. All of us have heard this before. I don't have to preach it this morning to trust in God. But see, when I began to read this passage of scripture with Abraham, I realized what the Lord was showing me here. Because yes, we hear it all the time, trust God and trust God. But when was the last time in church you ever heard a message or a question like this? And I'm about to ask, you guys ready? Can God trust you? You ever heard a message on that? Never. I looked everywhere, nothing. I was like, well, we're missing something. Either I'm crazy or we're not paying attention here. Because we know that God says, trust me, but the Bible says that God also wants to know if He can trust you. We read it in Luke. God said, whoever can be trusted with little will be trusted with much. So the Bible clearly teaches us that, yes, I need to trust in God, but God must also be able to trust me. The same way I entrust something to God, God will entrust something to you, and He trusts you. So we don't hear this often, we don't hear it preached, but God wants to know, can I trust you? And one of the ways that God finds this out is by putting you through a test. We don't like tests. We get irritated by them. We don't understand why God will test us. Tests are difficult. They bring problems. They bring tension. But there is a lot of tension in testing. But behind all testing, there is potential blessing. This is why you may be in the area in your life right now that you're tested. You don't know what God is up to. You don't know what God is doing. It doesn't seem fair. But what God is simply trying to find out is, I need to know if I can trust you. I want to bless you. I have more for you. I want to give you much more. But I need to know, before I can do more, can I trust you with little? Can I trust you with what I'm giving you now? And based on how you're handling right now will determine what I can do in your future. That frightens me, because I know I ask God for more. I ask God to be blessed. I want more. God, I want to be blessed. God, I want more to my life. And God says, I agree with you. I want to do more in your life. I want to bless your life. But I need to know, before I can give you much, I need to know how you can handle this little. And I'll tell you that a lot of you are failing the test with little. You got little problems and you treat them like it's the end of the world. You're failing the test. God will test you because He has more for you. God will test you because He wants to bless you. This is exactly what He's telling Abraham. Abraham goes from being a father of none to being a father of many. But understand this. Before he can be a father of many, as God promised him, he first had to see if he can be trusted with one, Isaac. Little Isaac. Abraham goes from not being able to be a father to being promised to be a father of many. God promised him more. God promised him to be blessed. God promised him, I have more for you, Abraham. This is not it. Don't settle for this. I have more I want to give you, but I need to know how you can handle this test. So he gives him Isaac. And based on how he handles Isaac, God will determine whether he can truly bless Abraham with more. See, before God can bless us with many, we first have to be tested with little. In order for God to bless you with more, he needs to know how you handle the less. In order for God to give you much, he first has to see how you handle one. I wonder today in this church, how many of you don't even realize right now that God might be testing you in a certain area, a situation, a circumstance, a trial right now that you may not like. You may think it's unfair. You may think, God, this is uncomfortable. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like who I'm with. I don't like where I'm working. And all you seem to do is complain and be critical. And you don't realize that God is watching you to see how you handle this one. How you handle this situation. How are you going to handle this little problem, this little test? Because if you handle this little the right way, then I can do more in your life. Because the Word of God says, I will not give you more than you can handle. Yes, I understand that's a verse dedicated to trials and problems. But when I read that, I honestly read it, that God cannot give you more if you can't handle it. And yeah, maybe that means problems, but also it might mean blessing. God says, listen, I can't do more in your life because you're failing the little. Abraham didn't know it at the moment. But all that tension was a test. You know, we read verses like this and God says, go and sacrifice your kid. And Abraham went and was going to go sacrifice. And when we just go to the next chapter. But have you ever stopped to really read what was going on? Can you imagine that you have your son and you go to your wife and say, hey, honey, I'm going to go take our son and go sacrifice him. Okay, be back before dinner. It wasn't like that. Can you imagine the tension between his wife and him when Abraham had to tell her, listen, Sarah, I heard from God and I don't know why, but God says we have to take little Isaac and sacrifice him. And she's probably thinking, have you lost your mind? After all these years, we've tried and tried and tried to have a baby and all the drama we had with Hagar when you slept with her to try to find get another child and all the problems we had to have a baby. And now that we have a child, you want to kill him? Because God told you. Let me tell you who else was being tested there was the wife, not just Abraham, because she had a double test, trust God and trust her husband. You're like, no, my husband's too crazy. Imagine if your husband goes up to you and says, I have to take our son and he may not come back. Imagine the tension of that night. When he goes to sleep, you think he got sleep that night knowing the next morning I'm going to get my son up and walk him to kill him? Do you think that that home was peaceful? Do you think right now Abraham was happy and satisfied and peaceful? Do you think that marriage was okay that day? Of course not. They were fighting. They were discouraged. They were afraid. They were anxious. They had no idea what God was doing. Literally, God says, go get up and go to a land I'm going to show you. I'm not even going to tell you which mountain. God had no sense of direction, according to Abraham. I don't know what God is doing in my life. I don't know where God is leading me. I don't know why God's allowed this problem in my life. I don't know why God has just restricted me with so much blessing. I don't understand God. You don't have to understand them. You have to trust them. But sometimes it's not just about trusting God. It's God trying to see if he can trust you. So Abraham gets up in the morning. He doesn't hit the snooze. He doesn't make excuses. He gets his son up and he said, let's go. With tears and fear and anxiety, he's walking little Isaac for days on that journey, knowing I may be coming back home alone. And God tells Abraham, stop. Here's the mountain. Now go. Sacrifice. You know what just baffles me? God tells him, take your son, your only son. And then God says something that would have angered me if I heard God say it, who you love. It's hard to understand God when he takes something from you that you loved. Can I get a witness this morning? God says, I know you love them. I know you love him. I know you loved her. I know you love this. I know you love that. But give it to me. It's hard to read this, let alone preach it. But sometimes God is going to demand of you something you love. The Lord gives. Praise him when he gives. But is he still praiseworthy when he takes away? That's the question. We love it when God gives, but what about when he takes away? Abraham goes up to that mountain. The tension is building. The tension of knowing in just a few minutes, I'm going to lose my son. And he doesn't know this whole time. It's just a test. You're going to make it. This isn't forever. It's just a test. I know it hurts. I know it makes no sense. I know you're tempted to quit. I know you're questioning me. It's just a test. I know you love that. I know you love them. But it's just a test. I see you crying, but it's just a test. I see you depressed, but it's just a test. I see you discouraged, but it's just a test. And if you can just be faithful to God in that test and obedient, God will do more. If you can just handle this little, this one, before God promised him many, he had to see if he can be trusted with little. Is this making sense this morning? You're like, Pastor, where is the Father's Day message? Just wait. God made no sense. Going back to Luke chapter 16:10, Jesus clearly said it. If you can be trusted, if you can be trusted. Can God trust you? Whoever can be trusted with very little, it's how you handle the very little that will determine whether God can do very much. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So God says, the only thing I'm testing here is your character. What separates you and God from being blessed is your character. What's stopping God from doing more in your life is your character. what's hindering God from really producing the work that he wants to accomplish in your life is your character. If you have a bad, dishonest, disloyal, disheartening character, God cannot do much with your life. But if God sees you can be trusted with very little, it may not be much. It may not be what you wanted. It may be little and insignificant. But if God sees that you trust him with this and you put your heart into it and you work hard in it and you don't complain, you don't get anxious, you don't get bitter, you don't question God, but whatever he hands you, you handle it well. And if you just handle it the right way, God says, now I know I can do more in you and in your life because I saw how you handled that little problem, that little season, that little test. God wants to know if he can trust you with more by testing you and how you handle the little. Little is not easy. Have you ever had, look, you know you're poor and broke when you check your bank account, not to see how much you have, but how little. That's when you know, no, I understand. I don't check to see how much, I check to see how little. When you have a little money, it's not easy. When you have a little patience, it's not easy. When you have a little temper, ever had a little temper? That's not easy. Little represents the season that is most difficult in your life. Little represents insignificant. Little represents uncomfortable. Little represents embarrassing. Little represents those moments in your life that aren't that easy. It's not easy where you're at right now. It's hard when God is only doing a little bit in your life. When God is only blessing you a little bit, when God's only guiding you a little bit, when God is only giving you a little bit, the season of little is one of the most difficult, most tense, most testing seasons of your life. But the seasons of little is where God is trying to see character to bless with more. It's not easy when it's little. But God says, if I give you too much too soon, you'll ruin it. So I have to see how your character is. And if you can handle it. It's not that I can't bless you. It's that I won't. It's not that I don't want to. It's that I won't. God can give you more in an instant. God can change your life tomorrow with blessings that you'd never imagined. But before God can do that, and before you can reach the promise of God, you have to be faithful with the little you have now. It's a test. How are you guys handling it? Because maybe you're withholding the blessing that God has for you because of your character, your attitude. Can I tell you that the greatest people in the Bible that did so much started with so little? You know that even Jesus started little? Like, yeah, he was a baby. Don't get smart. You know what I mean? He started little. Jesus. I mean, believe me, it doesn't get better than Jesus when he preaches. You cannot be a better preacher than Jesus, but he preached to little crowds. When Jesus started his ministry, he started with Peter, little Peter. And the most he got was 12. There were days that the ministry, Jesus said, will start off like a mustard seed, little. But just because it looks small doesn't mean it's going to stay small. Just because it's insignificant doesn't mean it stays insignificant. If you can handle the little, God can do more in your life. But the problem is your character. When God gives you something you don't like, you're bitter, you're upset, you're anxious, you're angry, you complain all the time. And God says, nope, I can't give you more because you can't handle it. All the people in the Bible that did great things started in the worst ways. They started with little. Consider King David, one of my favorite leaders in the Bible. He's leading Israel. He's the king of Israel. He has built an amazing empire. He's huge. Everyone knows David. Everyone is worshiping. They love him. They're like, man, David, you're awesome. But there was a time that David had no friends. Everyone loves you when you're on top. But when you're at the bottom, you're alone. No one's calling you. No one's checking to see how you're doing. David, his best friends were sheep. That's who he sang to. That's how lonely things got. But notice 2 Samuel 7, verse 8, what God said to David. Now then, notice the transition. Now then. What is the now then? What's the shift? Tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock, the little sheep, to be ruler over my people. David didn't know it, but the sheep pen, the pasture, the little sheep he kept following, the insignificant life because shepherds were looked upon so disgracefully. When you told people you were a shepherd, it was like embarrassing. That's why his own father didn't even consider him when they were looking for a king. Because he was a shepherd. So in his own father's mentality was, listen, who's ever going to think that a shepherd could be king? My David's a shepherd. He's not good enough. He's not smart enough. He's just a shepherd. And many of you have had that type of father who's rejected you. You didn't have the love of a father. But aren't you grateful that when your father rejected you, you had a father in heaven receiving you, saying, don't you worry about what your dad did. Don't you worry about what your dad said. Don't you worry how he wasn't there for you. Don't you worry about how he favored your other brothers. Listen, David, I got you. Just pass this test. So David, every day, got up. He was with his little sheep. He would worship. The Bible says that David, at one time, a lion, a bear came and took one of his sheep. And David went off to fight them. I think that was a transitional moment that God said, okay, if David will fight a bear and a lion for a little sheep, imagine what he's going to do for people. And David didn't know. As he's shaving the wool off and he's walking the sheep and he's picking up sheep poop and he's just living a life of misery and insignificant. I don't understand why I want more. I love God, but he has me in this little sheep pen. I don't understand. But all of that time, it was a test for character. Because God was saying, listen, David, if you can't handle sheep, you can't handle people. I know you want people, but you can't handle sheep. But when God saw that David handled those sheep well, he said, now then, there's the shift, there's a transition. David, you passed my test. People mocked you for being a shepherd. His own brother said when he went to fight Goliath, who have you left those little sheep with? David was always mocked for his position. Was always rejected for being a shepherd, but he didn't know that God had appointed him a shepherd to test and mold his character for something greater. That sheep pen might represent a job you're in right now, a position that you have that you don't like. That sheep pen could be a person God has put in your life that you don't understand why. But could it be that God is testing your character because he's trying to see how you can handle this little? You're praying for God to give you a husband, but you can't even get along with your friends. You know how hard it is to love a husband? You didn't like that, I know. You're praying for God to give you a promotion, but you can't even show up on time for work for the little job you have? Are you kidding me right now? You're praying for God to give you a child, you can't even take care of your dog? Seriously, you never know what God is doing in your life and what situation he's given you, but he's trying to see how you handle it.
Because we get so caught up in what we don't have. We get so caught up in what we don't have and what God's not doing. We get so caught up in the dream of having more and more and more that you forget that God is doing something right now, but you're failing. We're asking God for more. And God, like David, he's going to place you in an uncomfortable, stressful, painful environment to test you. But you're failing. You're asking God for more. You're asking God for change. You're asking God to bless you. But God can't do more tomorrow because you're failing today. You guys look like, I don't know, where's the Father's love? Where's the Father's Day message? Wait! Wait for it. Relax. Because here's a dad, Abraham, and he's like, listen, I want to do more in your life, Abraham. But I got to see how you handle Isaac. All of us have a little Isaac in our lives. Something you love, something that you don't want to get rid of, something that's stressful. And God's just testing your character. Abraham teaches us that how we handle today will determine what God can do tomorrow. I think that's tweetable or something. That's pretty good. How we handle today will determine what God can hand you tomorrow. You're tired of asking God. You've just asked and asked and asked. God, I just want. God, give me. God, give me. Please, God. God, please, God. God, ask. James 4, verse 1. It's a verse that's hard to really listen to and swallow. Listen. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? That word fight and quarrel means tension, disturbance. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle inside you? Verse 2. Notice this amazing verse here. You want something. How many of you want something? You want something. That's the problem. I want something, but I don't get it. I want this. I don't get it. I ask for it. It doesn't happen. I keep asking God. It never happens. I want it. I need it. I desire it, but I don't get it. I never get the promotion. I never get the guy. I never get the girl. I never get married. I never get the children. I never get the raise. I never get the position. I never get it. It's not fair. Did I sound like you? And notice, you don't get it. So what happens? You kill. I hope not physically. But it just means you get violent, you get anxious, you covet, you get jealous. Well, God, you didn't give me, why'd you give them? I see you on your Facebook, oh, look at them, huh? Yeah, God, they're on vacation, but you can't give me a break. Like, they got this, but you can't give me that. And we all get jealous. And notice, there are two reasons you don't have right now. Two reasons, only two reasons. Number one, notice, you kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. And God says, you want to know why? Oh, you quarrel, you fight. There it is again, three times, you don't have. It's like God saying, you don't have, you don't have, you don't have. Number one, why? Well, you don't ask. Some people honestly don't have because they don't have the faith to ask. And well, I don't know why I should bother asking God. What's the point? I'm too old, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to bother God with this. So God says, fine, you can't have. But some of you right now, I can feel you. No, Pastor, I ask all the time. That's not my problem. Well, notice what the next verse says. The next verse, God says, when you ask, you don't receive. Here's the second reason. Because you ask, there it is, you asking with wrong motives. You know that motives is character. So one person doesn't get because they don't ask. We're not going to talk about them. But I want to talk about this second guy. You ask, you don't receive because of your character. Your motives are wrong. Let me ask you a difficult question. Why are you asking God for what you're asking for? Why do you want it? So you can feel important? So you can be like everyone else? So you can puff up with pride? Why are you asking for what you're asking? God says it here. I look at your motives. I look at your character. And you ask with wrong motives. You have wrong character. So that you may spend what you get on your pleasure. It's all selfish. Also, let me tell you, the reason right now today that you're not enjoying your life is because you're selfish. We don't realize how selfish we are. Want to see? I want to prove it to you. Can I prove how selfish you are? Prove it. Just today, being here in church, you are the most selfish person. You're like, hold up. Let me explain to you. Why did you come to church today? So I can speak to you? Make you feel good? Some of you are mad because Frankie didn't sing your favorite song. I didn't like church today. It wasn't for me. When was church for you in the first place? The most selfish. We come to our church and we're like, I hope pastor preaches to me. When was the last time you said, I hope pastor preaches to someone today? Are we selfish? Can, you know, someone? Can you nudge your neighbor in agreement? I'm selfish. I'm selfish. A little selfish. Our prayers. Selfish. The minute you sit down, like, God, focus on me now. What happened to me today, God? We've become selfish. The most miserable people in marriage. Selfish. Because you got married for selfish reasons. You're in that marriage for selfishness. Why are you mad today at him? Because he did this to me. Why are you mad at her? Because she doesn't do this for me. She doesn't think about me. What about my needs? I hear it all. I'm a counselor too. What about me? But God said marriage is about being a helper. Not to yourself, but to them. That's another sermon. I'm not going there. But you know that the devil wants you miserable. And he does so by getting you to be negative, critical, unhappy. But why have you become critical, negative, and unhappy? Because the devil wants you to focus on what you don't have. He wants you to focus on the wrong. He wants you to focus on the problem. And the most miserable people in life today have all this in common. You know what it is? It's not just selfishness. They've become ungrateful. That's why you're mad this morning. You're ungrateful. That's why you're mad at that person today. Because you have forgotten the good they have done for you. Hey, you married them for something. Be grateful for that. You're mad at someone in church because you've forgotten the good things they've done in your church. You're mad at this situation, but you've forgotten how good your God has been to you. The most miserable people are ungrateful. Adam and Eve became sinners because they were ungrateful. Satan got them to only focus on that one tree they could not have. And Adam and Eve forgot all the thousands of trees they could have. That's where the devil is twisting your mind right now. He's making you miserable by putting your focus on the negative, the wrong, and what God hasn't done. But if you would shift your focus back on God and realize that God has been good to you because there's breath in your lungs today, you are alive, people. You're alive today. You should be you're healthy enough to get up today. You're in church today. You're not being persecuted. You have it good. You've just forgotten it. You have no reason to be so caught up and upset and miserable. You have it good. You're mad at your job? Be grateful you got one. You're mad at your spouse? Be grateful you have someone to wake up to. You're mad at your kids? Be grateful you have them. You're mad because of a headache? Thank God it's not cancer. You're mad at your cancer? Thank God you're not dead. You may be dead. Thank God you're in heaven. You always have a reason to thank God. Thank God! Because the devil wants you critical, negative, by reminding you of the little. He could have told David, you little shepherd. And you love God. You're a man after God's own heart, but look what he's done for you. Sheep. You know when David messed up? Committed adultery. Why did David commit adultery? Because he was ungrateful. The only reason that someone commits adultery is because they become ungrateful towards their spouse. God even told him, did I not give you enough? If it wasn't enough, David, I would have given you more, but you took the one thing you couldn't have. Ungrateful. We become so ungrateful, and I know this because we're living our lives blind to what God has done for us. Let me show you this picture. This missionary took this picture and it always blows my mind. But it's taken in the Philippines of a church. This is a church flooded after a great storm. The people are in church, water up to their knees, no air, no windows, worshiping. They're not complaining because they're grateful that they can even still worship God. But in America, we complain every weekend about our churches. We complain about our church people, church songs, church structure. Could you handle this? What if this was forward? Could you handle it? I don't think so. Look at this other church in Thailand. That's their sanctuary. A little tarp. This is where the children meet for worship. Are you justified in what you're complaining about today? We live in the greatest country in the world. What's sad here is that you complain about your job, you complain about your church, complain about your home, you complain about your situation, but you don't realize how good you have it. We need to thank God that we're free to worship. We need to thank God that your pastor is not going to jail and being persecuted and killed. These people, honestly, they don't know if their pastor is going to come back the next service. They don't know if he's going to be dead. They worship. This is where God tests you. How are you going to handle with what I give you? How are you going to handle this situation? You don't like this situation. You don't like this person. You don't like this job. You don't like this problem. But this is a test to see if I can do more in your life. So let me close with John chapter 6, what Jesus said here. And you're still thinking, David, where is the Father's Day message? Wait. Wait for it. Because in John chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming toward him. And notice what he said. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? He asked this only to what? To test him. I love what it says next. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. In other words, God has in mind what he wants to do in your life. God has in mind the things he wants to do more of. God has in mind the blessing. God has in mind the transfer. God has in mind. That's why when God says, I have a plan, He has a plan. He already had in mind what He was going to do, but He said, I can't do it yet. Because I got to test little Philip. He asked him a terrible question. Where are we going to feed these people? Wink, wink. Huh? It's a test. I guess I can imagine a little smile in Jesus' face. Huh? Where are we going to feed them? He already had in mind what He was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of these people. He said, 8 months' wages. He did the math. Would not even buy enough bread for each one to even have a bite. In other words, he said, it's not enough. Do you ever find yourself like Philip telling God what you don't have? Telling God what is not enough, what's not good enough? Telling God that it's pretty bad, your situation? Some of you, you've been caught up in telling God how bad it is that you've forgotten how good God is. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, it had to be Peter. Look, I love this. Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, here's a boy with five what? Small. Loaves and small fish. Small. Look at this question. How far will they go? So many. You know what they told Jesus? We can't. How far can this go? You're asking God, how far can I go? In other words, you're telling Jesus the limit. Some of you, you're limiting God by your limitation. You're telling God what's not good enough, what's too small, what's not enough. And God already has in mind the much He wants to do in your life, but it's testing you to see how you handle the little bread, the little fish, the little basket. And you're telling God, I can't make it very far because I don't have a lot. God didn't ask you how far you can make it. He's asking you, hey, can I trust you? How far will they go with so many? And notice what Jesus said here. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There's the test. There's the tension of getting 5,000 men, including women and children, over 20,000 people, to sit down knowing you can't feed them. It's like preparing a banquet, but you have no food. What a tense situation. They didn't say, look, I'm not going to be embarrassed and sit the people down when there's no food. But what if God would ask you to do something that's impossible? Are you going to limit God by what you're limited with? Or will you be faithful with the little that He's given you? So He sits everyone down. All the disciples are sitting people down and they're nervous. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but hey, sit down. We're going to eat. Hey, sit down. It's lunchtime. Hey, sit down. We're going to get fed. And they don't know what's going to happen. But as Jesus sees His disciples sitting the people down, He said, they passed the test. Because they didn't know what was going to happen, what God had in mind. But because they were preparing for it, God accomplished it. Or do you have the faith to prepare for the things God hasn't done yet? You're believing for a child. Go buy a crib. I dare you. You're believing for more. But are you living like it's going to happen? Are you preparing for it? As they sat the people down, there was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And look at what happened next. Jesus then took the loaves, the little loaves. What did he do? He gave thanks. He didn't get the loaves and look up to heaven and said, "Really? This is it?" He didn't complain about it. He didn't get mad about it. He didn't say, "Lord, I've been serving you. I'm in ministry, God. I've been faithful, and you only give me a little bread and a little fish." No, it wasn't enough. It was embarrassing what Jesus was holding. He had every reason to just quit. He had every reason to tell God it's not good enough. But Jesus was modeling a behavior trait that we need to model. We need to be more grateful for the little. So Jesus looks up and he gives thanks. And as he gave thanks, it multiplied. And to those that Philip said will not even have a bite, did not only eat, but they were satisfied and had left over. You know what God is saying here? I can give you satisfaction and then some. I can give you more. But I need to see how you handle this little. Jesus answered the question to Andrew. How far can it go? You know what Jesus is saying here? It can only go as far as your attitude. God can only take you as far as your character. God can only take you as far as your attitude. Now, can I tell you how this relates to fathers? I hope it was a good Father's Day message. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I think one of the best examples for fatherhood was exactly what Abraham showed Isaac. Abraham was not perfect. He made a lot of mistakes. The Bible said he lied. The Bible says he came from a bad environment of idolatry. Messed around with Hagar. He was not the best father. But I give him credit for this. The one thing Isaac saw his dad do. Because he wasn't there when his dad lied. He wasn't there when he committed adultery with Hagar. He wasn't there when he lived in that ungodly environment. But the one thing Isaac could say, "I saw my dad do," was put God first. The best thing you can ever leave behind for your children is not some account in the bank, it's not some house, it's nothing. But the example of what it is to fear God and put him first. It's no wonder Isaac grew up to serve God, because he saw his dad doing it. He was showing Isaac, "I love you, son, but I love God more. And I'm sorry, but I have to kill you." And God stopped him. For all my fathers here, I want to tell you, the best thing you could ever do for your son or your daughter is to show them what it is to really be a man. And you do so by showing them that God comes first. Not some job, not some hobby, but God. I'm grateful for my father, because my father worked two jobs. We didn't have a lot. Came home with back pain and tired. But when it was time to serve God, he was up. My dad may not be a Bible scholar, may not have a degree on the wall, but I'm a man of God today because I grew up with one. you say that yourself? I want all my dads to stand up today. All my fathers, stand up where you are. I want to pray with you. You may be like Abraham. You may say, Pastor, I did not grow up in the best home. Neither did Abraham. Abraham's father only served God halfway. He was an idol worshiper. Abraham made mistakes just like you have. Abraham wasn't perfect. But Abraham did one thing. He said, Son, I've made mistakes I'm not proud of. I didn't have the best home growing up. But God comes first. We pray for you, all the dads here. Heavenly Father, I pray this Father's Day that the greatest gift you've ever entrusted these men with is a child. The question is, can you trust them with the child that they have been given? Of all the people in the world, you chose them to raise that child. I pray, God, they will be faithful with what you've given them. They would put you first, love you first, even when it hurts, even when it's difficult, even when it makes no sense. May that child grow up to see Dad loved God. Dad put God first. Dad loves God more than me. Father, give them the strength to lead and leave a godly legacy behind. That they may see the test being passed in these men, Father. Give them the grace to walk faithfully, to serve you with loyalty, and to be faithful with the little ones you've given them. Even if those little ones are grown up now, Lord, may they continue to do their job as fathers, to put you first and lead an example. For anyone here today, may not even be a father right now. You're saying, Pastor, I'm failing the test of little. I've been living critical and negative and complaining. And if you need to repent of an ungrateful spirit, if today the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, you have not because of who you are inside. I can't do more because of your character. But today you're taking a stand like Abraham. You're saying, from now on, I will pass this test. I may not like where I'm at. I may not like who I'm with. I may not like the situation I'm in. But I'm going to do my best to do the best with what God has given me. If that's you today, I want you to stand as well as the declaration to God if you've been ungrateful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anyone here now or anyone online, Father, that has had an ungrateful spirit. I pray for anyone right now that has a tension so big, Lord, that they have forgotten how good you are, how faithful you've been. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would just give us a heart to say thank you. Even when it's not what we expected, even when it's not what we wanted. But I pray that the blessings multiply as they pass the test of little. Like Abraham, I pray, God, that you would give them the heart to be faithful with the one in order to be in charge of the many. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. I hope you guys enjoyed that message today for Father's Day. I know it's not your typical message, but I think that today, if you really meditate on it, you can see that being a father is all about putting God first and loving Him above all things. If there's any room in your life, any area in your life you're complaining about, I want you to challenge yourself by looking at that situation and try to find something in that situation you can be grateful about. Watch how that changes your life forever. Have you guys been blessed this morning? I hope you guys were.